All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
At the 2-yard line, a touchdown, walks it off, handoff, Kareem Hunt, right side, powering, he is, give it to him, touchdown, Kansas City, it's a walk-off touchdown by Kareem Hunt, and the Kansas City Chiefs stay undefeated at 8-0, the only unbeaten team in the National Football League, 14 straight wins for the Chiefs Kingdom. That's an all-time Kansas City record and seventh in National Football League history.
That is the sound of the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, there for you. You'll hear Mitch Holthus in about 15 minutes from now. He'll be live from Radio Row joining us here, Bob Mack and myself. And you can also hear him with the big game coverage on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Community America Credit Union, member-owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. I don't really need to tell anybody about how big the game is on Sunday, how ready you get. Again, it's kind of different. This is the first time in my life I've been away from the city that I grew up in that roots for this team that they call the Kansas City Chiefs. So I'm hoping, and I know, because I'm starting to see pictures on the Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, everybody wearing their Chiefs gear, wearing their red, big, big, huge Red Friday. As you get ready for this gigantic game that is Philadelphia versus the Chiefs, they have the best roster. They're the best team in the NFC. They didn't win 15 games. They don't have Andy Reid. They don't have Patrick Mahomes. They don't have the luxury of being here the last 2 years, knowing what you have to do to go through the motions. We heard, you know, people say everything is different. The whole process is different. It's a different sort of animal that you have to tame when you get into this sort of situation this season. Chiefs are ready. We're ready. Kansas City's ready. New Orleans, I hope you're ready for the town to be painted red on Sunday night.
And it's going to be a lot of fun when they end up winning this thing. And you're right. I think everybody is ready for this one, right? I think everybody is ready for this game just to be here. I know when we got on that plane on Sunday afternoon to come down here, I'm like, man, we got a whole week to go before we get to this football game. And I don't know, man, it's going to go slow, I think. And this week has just absolutely flown by. And I'm sure the weekend's going to fly by. But I'm just concerned about Sunday because of that late start for everybody and kind of leading up to that game and getting the excitement contained and all of that kind of good stuff that you do before a football game, getting ready for it. But it's pretty simple in this one. It comes down to stopping Saquon Barkley. If the Chiefs go out there and shut down Saquon Barkley, I don't believe Jalen Hurts can win the game for the Philadelphia Eagles. You take away their number one player, and that's what good defensive coordinators do. You go back to Bill Belichick over those years. He either took away Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce and said, you know what? The other person needs to beat us. The Chiefs are going to gear up. They're going to be ready to go, and they're going to stop Saquon Barkley, and then you're relying on Jalen Hurts to beat you. And as much as I do like Jalen Hurts and I think he doesn't get enough respect, I just don't think he can beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl without Saquon Barkley being a major factor.
And I don't think the defense is the second best part of their team, and I don't think the defense is enough. You know, let's say they shut down Saquon Barkley. I don't think the defense is enough to beat the Chiefs either. You're never going to beat Patrick Mahomes with just an elite defense and a meh offense. Mahomes will eventually figure it out come the third quarter, come the fourth quarter. We saw it last year in the Super Bowl. Slow on offense. Boom, they make a mistake. Scores. Touchdown. And all of a sudden, it's overtime, and you're saying, well, how did we get here?
But, you know, the thing interesting about the Philly defense, aren't they the number one ranked defense,
yes,
allegedly,
are.
Right? Patrick Mahomes, I think, is 6-0 against number one defenses in his career, and going against them in the postseason. There was some stat about that the other day. So, like, the number one defense, great. Patrick Mahomes can beat the number one defense. The number one running back, great. This defense can step it up and beat that number one running back, because when you tell them they can't, they absolutely go out there and they dominate. And that's how you know that they're so well coached, too. They're preparing all week to stop Saquon Barkley. They've been preparing for 2 weeks now to stop Saquon Barkley, right? And so I think this team, this defense, is going to be ready for that challenge. I know Andy always says we look forward to the challenge. I think they do look forward to this challenge. You're shutting people up. This defense has a lot to gain by going out there and shutting up Saquon Barkley, because maybe people start recognizing, hey, this Chiefs team's had some pretty good defenses along the way as well.
No doubt about it. And another thing that is worthy to be noted is that there is an illness going around in the Philadelphia locker room, apparently. Jalen Carter is suffering from an illness, and Vic Fangio believes he will be ready to go. He's not missing the game.
No.
But
you ever try to do anything when you're sick? And no matter if you're an athlete or not, you're not 100%.
Every day of my life. So, I mean, there is that to take note. I mean, I get it. It's, you know, we talked about Mahomes in the flu game a couple years ago that he lost in Denver. You know, but there is that going around. Jalen Carter is battling an illness, should be ready for the game on Sunday, and the illness is spread through the locker room. I assume at this point they've all just separated.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they've all quarantined in their room together.
No practice today.
They've got their tablets. They have everything they need to do. They've been preparing for this game for a week and a half, but there is that to be noted on as it went around yesterday on the social media platform. So, again, it is, you know, Mitch Holtis joining us a little bit later. And, Nathan, give us that Frank Clark, baby.
We put a mindset in our whole defense that we weren't going to let them run the ball on us. We knew the only way that's going to win the game is run the ball. The quarterback not good enough to win the game passing, and we exposed all that. Anytime you run for 80 yards, you call yourself the leading running back. Say what they're going to do to us. Say we the 26th ranked defense in the league. And all we do is continue to prove to them who the baddest mother planet are.
How good's that quarterback, man?
Said Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
MVP Pat. You said the illest mother walking. Pat Mahomes. When Pat Mahomes your quarterback, you don't have no worries, no fears, no doubt. Pat Mahomes. Come on, man. Pat Mahomes, the greatest quarterback in the world. Don't add me.
There it is, Frank Clark getting you fired up after the AFC Championship game about 5 years ago against Tennessee. It's perfect. It's a carbon copy of what everybody's saying about this game. Let's go stop the running back.
You can watch us all here on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Twitch, presented by our partners at Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. I need no intro after this. Coming up next, Craig Carton of Breakfast Ball on FS1 joins us. Mitch Holtis of your Kansas City Chiefs and the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs that you can hear on 96.5 The Fan on Sunday, because it will be brought to you by Community America Credit Union, member owned, open to all invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. We keep rolling along here on 96.5 The Fan, live from Radio Row in New Orleans for one last ride here on your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Dixon, the punter, will hold. Raboni is the long snapper. Lutz waiting for the snap. Placement is down. Lutz's kick is blocked! It's blocked! It's blocked! The Chiefs blocked the kick! They're going to stay undefeated! The Kansas City Chiefs blocked a 35-yard field goal attempt! Kansas City wins this game on a blocked field goal!
Never forget that one.
Woo!
Never forget that game. What a game that was. Ben Maller's first time in Kansas City. Got to watch that. I chugged beer on FaceTime with Bob Fesco and then spit it into my phone.
I mean, it was awesome. It was the best regular season game I've ever been to.
It was insane.
It was great.
I mean, that
was there, too.
That
awesome.
Seems like a full, like, 2 years ago. And it was literally this season.
Wow.
Don't forget, you have a chance to win $500. We have one more qualifier at 745 for that $500 gift card to Hy-Vee. You got to name the year when Nathan plays it for you. All you got to do is call into the number, 913-586-7965. Say, hey, Nathan, that was 2012, or whatever year Nathan decides to play.
We will not be playing a highlight from 2012.
Thank you very much.
Oh, good. That's a good one not to play from.
So we've taken one of the years off of the Kansas City Chiefs name that year. But we
64
did,
others.
We were joined yesterday by Craig Carton, who does Breakfast Ball on FS1 with Shalareth or Stank, and then former employee of the station, Danny Parkins. They all three do that show together. That's recorded yesterday. It was coming through as we were walking out, so we stood around. We were waiting for him. He goes, hey, guys, you from Kansas City? We're like, yeah. He's like, all right, like, I got some stuff for you. So a little rough at the beginning because we were fired up, but we were fired the hell up. Here's what Craig Carton had to say about the Chiefs.
All right, we're now joined by Craig Carton of Breakfast Ball on FS1, man. Why do you hate the Chiefs so much?
See, that's I knew this was coming. And I'm going to be honest because I'm getting so much crap from you fraud. Kansas City fans.
Whoa!
It's like you guys forgot what life was like pre-Mahomes.
So?
You guys were the laughing stock of the NFL.
Yeah.
And now you walk around. I remember a day when even the guy you all love, Travis Kelce, the Patriots get all the calls, it's unfair, Brady gets all the calls, and now I'm doing it to you guys, and you're like, oh, well, you suck it up, oh, you always blame the refs, we admit that we're the best team. You are the...
Go ahead.
I can't say it.
Come on.
Say it.
Come on.
I think the Eagles are better. I'm not going to lie to you. I think talent-wise,
did you hear the latest news in the Eagles? There's an illness going around the locker room. Jalen Carter's under the weather.
Hey, Jalen Carter's gonna be fine.
Okay.
What do you guys walk by there and cough on it?
No, the refs went in there. The refs went in there with the bird flu, and they gave him the sickness.
See, you know, I would have great. Here, take that back. I would have greater respect for your fan base if you could just own the fact that, like many great teams, you get the benefit of the calls.
Of course we do.
Like Jordan did. Jordan did. Brady did.
Jeter did.
But you guys can't own that. It drives me crazy when you guys like, oh, everyone thinks we only win because we get calls. We don't get any special treatment. Yeah, you do.
I'm trying to think of one of those calls that, you know, did not go our way.
Josh Allen got a first down. You know he did.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. You
but
know
see,
he did.
See, here's the thing about that. That, to me.
You know he did.
To me, it just is like, they were ready for that. Like, they said after the game.
They're ready for the refs to say no.
Josh Allen goes left all the time, right?
Oh, wow, like, that was stupid.
Right? I mean, how bad is like, and then the Denver game block field goal. We knew this guy sucks. We're going to go blast
also,
his ass.
That's
into
a pretty
the back,
good. That's good.
Like,
yeah.
So, like, they scout all this crap, right? They kind of know, right?
Well, look, I'm with you. Josh Allen only runs to the left. It's silly. But come on, man. I'm not even saying the Bills win the game. But don't act like he didn't get the first down.
Who's the MVP of the league this year? Was it Josh Allen?
Lamar Jackson.
Okay, because if it was Josh Allen, the MVP had the ball in his hands with 3:33 left.
Right, that's a great point.
Thank you.
And the Bill fan has to slurp that, has to swallow that hole.
Right.
Because if you had said to a Bills fan before that game, Josh Allen, 3:33 to go, all your timeouts, chance to win the game, everybody would have signed up for that. So that's on the Bills that they didn't overcome the bad officiating.
And their tight end dropped the ball.
And their coach pretty much stinks in big games.
Yeah, like, I'm not a Bills fan.
But what is that? We're not using the refs here. So
yeah,
like,
keep going.
Maybe you found some educated Chiefs fans.
Yeah, but here's the thing. All those things you said, I'm with you. I don't argue any of that stuff.
Yeah,
yes. You know, Kincaid drops the ball. You know, some guy doesn't run the right route. Josh doesn't see it. Whatever. I'm with you on all of that. Just give me the fact that the officials make calls that benefit you more than the opponent.
Okay.
And then we're all good.
I think there's times you have the face of the league. You got to protect it.
Okay.
But we don't get rules changed for us. They're getting ready to have lasers on first downs because of that call. Why do we have an extra overtime possession?
He's trying to get overtime changed years ago.
Buffalo
they told
got
him
it.
No. Buffalo
we didn't
got
get the
it.
I mean, look, the bottom line is, as you guys know, when it comes down to Brady and Mahomes.
I get it.
You played him twice. You lost both games.
That's fair. And that's huge.
So it's okay being LeBron to Mike. It is.
I'm okay with that.
And that's what Patrick is. He's the second greatest quarterback of all time. Your generation can argue 10 years from now, is he the greatest? I'll always say it's Brady. I guess if he got to 8, I would say Mahomes because that makes sense to me.
What if he wins a three-peat and gets to 7?
We got to have a conversation.
Okay.
100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, he's first ballot Hall of Famer if he never played another down.
Right.
If he lost 10 straight Super Bowls, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and in my opinion, second to Brady.
Okay.
Right? So, yes, if they three-peat and he gets to 7, I'll come back on and we could have that conversation.
Yeah.
At that point, I guess, was the 7th in his 40s with a new team?
Could be. Maybe.
Could be.
Could be. Could be. Maybe.
You guys can't let him know.
So, no, we're not going to. I'll make sure of that. So are we, like, to that stage of, like, I'm almost 50, you're in that age group as well?
Yeah.
We never let Michael Jordan go, right? Like, Michael will always be that
for
guy.
Us.
For us.
Yes.
Right. So
for,
is
like,
it,
for my son.
Who's Michael Jordan?
An argument could be made for Kobe, for LeBron.
Right.
For me, because my son never saw him play.
Sure.
Michael play. For me, it's easy. Now, I'll give you an example. My father-in-law is almost 80. It's Wilt Chamberlain and nobody else.
Right. Well, Wilt, I meant to KU. Wilt had a time in Lawrence.
Yes.
100. It's got a different meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some of it's generational.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Who did you see?
Right.
So I do think there's a generation of kids, even not just Chiefs diehards, who will tell you Mahomes is the greatest quarterback of all time, who maybe just weren't old enough to see Brady in his prime. That's a fair argument.
Right.
Like, I have a 14-year-old, and my 14-year-old's best friend will go to his grave right now telling you that LeBron James is the greatest basketball player of all time. He should think that.
Yeah,
he
absolutely.
He never saw Jordan play.
Yep.
So I get that, and there's some generational bias for sure.
All right, Craig Carter, let's get down to it. You're a busy man. You got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, I am.
Why Philadelphia in this game? I kind of like this guy a lot. Never met him
That's
before.
That's why I told you this is my spirit animal on radio. You should have listened to him turn Evan Roberts.
How did we get? Why did we get so far back in this corner?
Why are we on a radio station right now? Like, was this a podcast I never heard of?
Yeah, it's whatever.
It's all good.
Never heard of him.
I think if you're intellectually honest, which I'm not, but if I was, and if you were, top to bottom, the Eagles have a better roster.
Yeah,
they just do.
Yeah, they do.
Now, Mahomes is different. You give me a close game, I'm telling you Kansas City's going to win. They haven't seen a running back other than Derrick Henry in week one that's doing what Saquon's doing. Offensive line of the Eagles is dominant. Jalen Carter is your Chris Jones. They don't play against each other, obviously. So I think we get a high-scoring classic. Push comes to shove. I think Philly's better.
The shove.
I think they're better. I think they're a better team. And that's not a knock. If you tell me it's a close game, I take Kansas City. If you tell me it's a 10-point win, I'm taking Philly.
And if the Chiefs win, I'll come on Breakfast Ball and gloat my stuff for you.
We don't do guest rooms.
Oh, that's right. Fair enough. Either way, Craig Carton with us here for Breakfast Ball. Okay. FS1. Thanks, man. We appreciate it.
And thank you. That was Craig Carton there. All of our guests are brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kinsey is gearing up for their third straight title, and Academy Sports and Outdoors has everything you need to rep your team during their historic run. We go from Craig Carton to your fan, your friend, your man. Mitch Holtis joins us now here on 96.5 The Fan. Mitch Holtis brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. Brought to you also by GEHA. GHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Text line saying that guy's a clown. That guy got me fired up. Give me Mitch Holtis. This is the guy I want to hear. I'm ready to get focused. Stay focused, Dusty. Mitch Holtis, how are you on this wonderful Friday, last Red Friday, National Wear Red Friday, the Friday before the big game, before we play the birds and defeather those birds?
Well, boys, you're surviving media, Radio Row, Media Central, whatever that is. Now,
right.
I was down there for 2 days. You get mushy head syndrome. It's a very real thing. What is it? MHS, mushy head syndrome, from guys like you just had on. I wish I could be there. I was trying to dig out of that interview what compelling evidence there was to pick Philadelphia other than they're the best roster top to bottom. It's all the same stuff.
Right.
Like, best offensive line. They gave up 45 sacks. You guys realize that?
Yep.
Philadelphia, a running team, number one in the league in time of possession, allowed 45 sacks, 38 to Hurts, who's a mobile quarterback. Oh, when Pickett came into play, he got sacked four times, and the cat from Stanford, who's the third guy, got sacked. I don't even buy that, well, top to bottom, 1-53, Philadelphia has the better team. Do they? I mean, well, I could go through piece by piece to this roster and go, I don't know. Looks like a pretty even match there. So I just keep hearing the same things over and over and over. Maybe my head's mushy. Love you guys. This is my 38th show of the week.
Wow.
And, yeah, and it's going to head – I've got six more today. And if the BBC gets a hold of me, it could get close to 45 because they're trying to track me down. So, anyway, mushy head syndrome. But let's play. Let's go, and let's do something historically. I just – to me, it is disrespectful to this Chiefs team and these players of the narrative that's out there, including Snoop Dogg at the awards ceremony going, it's the Eagles against the refs. Stop it.
Yeah, and that has to be enough of that, too. And you know, that kind of is leveled
Please.
Out this week on Radio Row, though, Mitch. I mean, talking to some people, and you know, there's still the ref, you know, truthers out there. But I think more and more people start to realize that it isn't about the refs. The Chiefs are just a damn good football team. And I think the term we heard this week from Gerald McCoy earlier in the week that I'm going to steal, it's just disrespectful to Andy Reid and his coaching staff to continue to talk about the favors that they get from the referees, because Andy and his coaching staff are just better than you. Just listening to highlights this morning, the blocked field goal, stopping Josh Allen, you know, short because they knew he was going to go left. Like, that's all work that the coaching staff puts in. They dial that up. They put that game plan in place. And by saying the referees and spotting the ball, that's it's just disrespectful to the hard work that this coaching staff does every single day.
But who's – I mean, Snoop's reading off a prompter. He didn't write his own stuff. So who's writing that? That's not the league. Is that the league? Is that – you know, who is that? Is that somebody from Fox? Like, is that, I don't know, but it's stupid. It's still there. Because then what you do is speak it into existence, basically. And people, that's what's been done with this. But I'm infuriated. Now, it has tempered some on Radio Row. But then when they come out at the awards ceremony and pop that out there, You're like, no, come on. Anyway, let's just go. These guys are ready. They're ready to do this, to pull off history, and we're experiencing it. Let's do it.
How have they handled the last 11 and a half months? I mean, this is all they've talked about since the last Super Bowl.
It has been that way, and it's not been said. There's been no spoken, hey, let's do this and have pep rallies and say three-peat, and three-peat T-shirts and three-peat banners up in the practice facility. There has been none of that. But, guys, it has been unspoken. I've sensed it every day, OTAs, camp, mini camps, and the playoffs started the first snap of the first game against Baltimore on September the 5th. This team has handled it. They're so mature mentally and emotionally, and they just have approached this like, we're going to do this. We're not sure how it's going to happen, but we're going to do it. And that's the way they've attacked this season. And you can give all the stats. We can sit here and pound stats back and forth. But to me, that has been the biggest part of this team that sets it apart from any of the other 31 teams that I've been the voice of the Chiefs for. And one of the most remarkable teams in that regard that I've been around in any sport, any level.
Mitch, I want to bring this up because a lot of people talk about the Vic Fangio factor, 0-8 versus Mahomes. And then yesterday there was a little bit of news saying that Jalen Carter had an illness. He's battling, should be ready for the game, that there's something going around that locker room. So what say you when it comes to that news and also the Vic Fangio thing?
Well, that's a part that fans or we don't think about. There's so much sickness going around, whether it's influenza A or COVID. And so Rick Burkholder and his staff, that's the other thing, if not just injuries, of trying to keep guys healthy. And they're in closed confinement here, right?
Yep.
And so once you get something going around a locker room, so to speak, it can be a problem, and you can lose games because of it. I'm not saying that's the case with the Eagles. But the Fangio factor, I think, is significant. Remember, he was the defensive coordinator for Matt Nagy for 2 years in Chicago.
Oh, that's right.
And Nags, yeah. So they spent almost every waking hour together. And then Vic got the job in Denver as head coach. But there's some familiarity here both ways. Now, generally, Vic's approach is, I'm going to make you be patient. I'm going to see how disciplined you are, because you may get 4 or 5. But are you on 2nd down and 5 going to be disciplined enough against the defense I'm going to show you to run the play you should run? Or are you going to get a little crazy and a little rectal itch and think, nah, we're going to try this or that? Now, what this Philadelphia team has done for this Vic Fangio bend not break, for lack of a better cliche, is they take the ball away. They poke the ball out. And the coach was telling me throughout the week that they do it front to back. Like, their defensive linemen will try to punch it out. Usually it's the linebackers or DBs. And this is almost a cut and paste with the discussion I had with you before the Buffalo game. Because the two teams that do this the most right now in the league, or stress it or try to do it on every play, is Buffalo and Philadelphia. That's why I said I think we're playing the Philadelphia Bills and beat the Buffalo Eagles. Because not only just running the ball in that approach and changing their offensive approach, it's their defensive approach. Bend, not break, but we'll punch it out. And we'll punch it out after you get a 12-yard gain. Look what's happened in the playoffs. The Eagles are plus 10 over 0 giveaways in their 3 playoff games. But they've done it after gains. They've done it in special teams. They've done it in a punt return and a kick return. So Vic's defense has been, where we're going to get our decisive play is you being impatient or we punch it out. If the Chiefs are patient like they've been all year, and don't turn it over, which Pat now has a record of 288 passes without an interception of any quarterback going into a Super Bowl, then you'll beat these guys, and you could handle them.
Talking with Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, and obviously it's Saquon Barkley. It's why I've been playing my interview from Frank Clark after the 2019 championship game where they stuffed Derrick Henry, because he goes, all week they told us we couldn't do it. I feel like it's deja vu all over again, Mitch, where everybody's saying can't stop Saquon Barkley. I think they are going to stop Saquon Barkley.
Well, you just hold him to singles and doubles and don't give him home runs. The stat with Saquon is 6 runs of 70 yards or more for touchdowns. That's an all-time NFL record.
Wow.
And, yeah, but here's your caveat to that, boys. Of those 6 70-plus runs, which is the equivalent of hitting 62 home runs in a baseball season, six of those have been against two teams. Four against the Rams, two in the playoffs and two in the regular season, and two against the Commanders, one in the playoffs and one in the regular season, the other to the Saints, and there's a couple 50s in there as well. But is that scheme and personnel? Because if I hit 62 home runs, but I hit 49 of those off of two teams, then maybe there's something there that it's not that he's a home run hitter on every single play against every single team. Now, it's taken nothing away from Saquon. He's explosive. But Philadelphia is much different than the team they were in Super Bowl 57. Keep in mind, Hurts was the first quarterback in NFL history to account for four touchdowns, throw for 304 yards, and lose. They're not doing that this year. They are 29th in the league in passing. They're only the second team in Super Bowl history to make the Super Bowl in the bottom five of passing. The other team, the 82 Dolphins, and that was a strike season. So what Philadelphia has done is kind of recalibrated their offense to be centered around Barkley to hit home runs. Then they complement that with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, and Hurts still kind of running the ball a little bit. Dallas Goedert is really, really good. I think he's way underrated. But this is about Barkley. Hit home runs, buddy, and we'll win. Well, if you hold him to singles, you lose.
And the way that you do that is good pitching and good drafting on defense. Both teams have kind of revamped their defense from the last time these two teams played each other. Obviously, the draft class for the Chiefs that is still undefeated in the playoffs was there, but they're more experienced. Philadelphia as well, some more picks and some more experience on that defensive side. Mitch Holtis.
No question, and we got to give Howie Roseman and Philadelphia their due. They have drafted well, and especially on defense. I loved Quinyon Marshall when he came out this draft. And I go, and I'm glad he's going to the NFC. May see him in the Super Bowl, and here we are. But Cooper DeJean, and kind of basically in the Chiefs' kingdom, Ida Grove, Iowa, in the West Central Iowa, and here he is as an impact player. And then they go get all the Georgia guys they could find. They went to the Georgia spring game and started just taking guys. And so, and they're good. You mentioned Carter, but Nolan Smith and others. So, and Baum was a great pickup. They go get Baum and Burks as linebackers, as free agents. They've done an excellent job of building their defense, but so have the Chiefs. We've talked about this every week of what the Chiefs have done defensively. Eight-man rotation up front, unheard of in the NFL. The linebackers have had really good seasons, if not spectacular, underrated. Yep. And then the DBs have had to deal with a lot. So, yeah, Dusty, you're dead on. These two teams have drafted well and built their defenses that are, well, Philadelphia's is a lot different than Super Bowl 57, but the Chiefs have even matured more by that undefeated class of 2022.
All right, Mitch, as we get ready to kind of wrap things up for the final time with you, it's a kind of, I don't want to use the term a legacy game, but an important game for two players, I think, DeAndre Hopkins and Kareem Hunt. Obviously, Kareem finally gets to the Super Bowl after, you know, leaving Kansas City. DeAndre Hopkins never been to a Super Bowl before. He gets that opportunity as well. What's this game mean to those two guys?
I think it's the, of this week, probably, you nailed, Bob, the least told story. And of so many untold stories, because everybody just jumps into the common narratives, is that those two guys in specific, you've seen what D-Hop has posted, right?
Yep.
The fact that, you know, a single-parent home and small-town kid, and now I get a chance to play in a Super Bowl. He and I had a chance to visit. I got a chance to walk out with the team on opening night. It was awesome, man. I had chills and tears and everything else. But I went to those two guys in specific, and I said, D-Hop, you're getting to take this walk. And he's pretty soft-spoken, but it all resonates with him. I think he'd do anything he could to win this game for his teammates. But and then let's take Kareem Hunt. We all know that story a little bit better, but he didn't think he would have this chance. He wasn't jealous of what was happening that he thought he could have been a part of since 19. But he now has resolved to win this game. If there is something to push the Chiefs past the limit here in a very even game, it's the fact that these Chiefs want to win this game as much for D-Hop and Kareem as anything else and to make history. And for D-Hop and Kareem, they would give everything they had to win that game because a team and a group of teammates opened the door for them and said, we're going to try to give you something you've never had. But let's be honest, and I told D-Hop and Kareem both, we wouldn't be here without you guys.
That's right.
So there's this two-way conduit of power and strength that I think pushes the Chiefs over, and that people are missing that story because these guys, D-Hop and Kareem, will not let the Chiefs lose this game.
No doubt, Mitch, neither are you. You're not going to let them lose this game because you're going to be fired up on Sunday. You got to pace yourself. Stay focused, Mitch. I was really hoping you were going to be here this morning and sit on my lap, and I was going to contain you while you got excited here on Radio Row, but I'll wait for another day. Mitch Holtis, thank you so much. Take care and enjoy another Super Bowl game that you get to call my friend at 96.5 The Fan.
I was going to come down there and be with you guys. I'm at the hotel a mile and a half away. But I think when I got tased and cuffed and carried out of there the other day because I got in a fight with everybody I could, I think that probably ended today's action.
Yeah, that probably did. They do have a picture of you with it, like a line through it that says, no Mitch. So, yeah, you're better off at the hotel, my friend.
And it's Mike Florio carrying it around.
It is.
Drop the mic, why don't you, Mitch? Take care, buddy. We'll talk to you later. We'll listen to you on Sunday, my man.
See you, boys.
Mitch Holtis brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care. Silverstein Eye Centers, and also brought to you by GEHA. GEHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. We're trying to get you fired up. We're giving you all the guests we ran into. Coming up on the other side, Dan O. Mr. Orlovsky will sit down with Bob Fesco, myself, and Mac here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Winchester snaps it. Placement is down. Wright's kick is up. And the kick is good! 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 And the Kansas City Chiefs do it again. The third kicker this season to have a walk-off field goal. And this one wins the game 19-17 and gives the Chiefs 9 consecutive AFC West championships. That is second in National Football League history for division dominance.
Right back at it here on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports. And again, we are live on Radio Row in New Orleans, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kansas City's geared up for their third straight title. And Academy Sports and Outdoors has everything you need to rep your team during this historic run. Nathan, was that it, or do we need to do the year? You still got one of those?
Still got one of those, right?
All right. I was going to say, well, I didn't know if he was playing
no,
out of
I
break.
Didn't either. Good call, yeah.
So, again, name that year where we play a Chiefs highlight. You call in. Nathan answers. You guess the year. You get it right. You go in as the final contestant of the five-people drawing that could win $500 for you for a Hy-Vee gift card. Nathan, roll that beautiful beam footage.
36-36 tie in overtime. Chiefs first down and goal to go. Mahomes looks to throw it. Pump faking. Right side he wants it. A comeback cut. It is caught by Kelsey. Touchdown! Kansas City! One of the greatest duos in the history of the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelsey on a push fake comeback. And the Chiefs have won this incredible divisional playoff game in overtime.
All right, if you can't guess that one in 13 seconds, there's your clue. If you can't guess that one in 13 seconds, I don't know what I can do for you.
Oh.
But, yeah, you ought to nail it as we get fired up here on a final Red Friday before the Super Bowl matchup that you can hear all that action here on 96.5 The Fan. And, of course, it is brought to you by Community America Credit Union, member-owned, local, and for you, communityamerica.com. Sign up today. Also, we have a guest that wants to join us now. His name is Dan Orlovsky. You guys know him. You don't like him. You don't like his takes. I got a feeling you're going to enjoy Dan Orlovsky after you hear this when he joins us now, and it is sponsored by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of your Kansas City Chiefs. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Drink responsibly. When we get to this and we talk about this, because I know we do this all year, right? We talk about how, like, guys say things, and then you have to finally meet them, and, well, what do you think about these two quarterbacks, Dano?
I'll start with Patrick. Okay. Patrick's had a really great 4 months. You know, the first month was you're trying to figure out why the play didn't look like we've been accustomed to, and there's variables attached to that. You know, new wide receivers, Hollywood wasn't available, the offensive line struggled. And then he, like he always does, he's morphed into the – you know, the late game assassin, the guy that controls the game. It's almost like watching Greg Maddux pitch back in the day, just, you know, constantly in control of every play and every kind of phase of how the game's going quarter by quarter. And so he's playing his best ball now. He's almost on a play-by-play basis, figuring out, all right, it's first and 10 and you're playing man coverage, great, I'm running. You know, we'll be in second and 3. And so the efficiency that he's kind of settled into is a really big deal. And you got, it's hard. I constantly say how hard it is for uber talented guys to have to play that style. Patrick probably doesn't want to throw the ball at the line of scrimmage all the time. It's what's necessary. So it's a huge challenge. Best defense he's played all year probably when it comes to the internal rush from Jalen Carter is a huge deal. I don't think there's anybody in football defensively that runs to the ball better than Philly with more people and punches at it. That'd be a huge thing not only for him but everybody on their offense. They will not give you big plays. They will force you to be unbelievably efficient and patient. The ball placement for yards after the catch will have to be a big deal. He won't really know what kind of coverage they're playing because they kind of play what we call muddy or cloudy coverage. So it'd be a big-time challenge for him. For Jalen, it's the biggest challenge he's had since the last time he played this team in the Super Bowl. You know, this elite defensive coordinator, elite interior defensive tackle. Obviously, he's got a plethora of people around him and help. I think second down for Jalen's going to be huge. If they get into third and 6+, Spags will have a good day. And a lot of the chaos that they can create. Jalen wants to throw the ball on the outside. He doesn't want to throw the ball on the inside. He's obviously worked well. They're in the Super Bowl. Yep. So, you know, if you can get him to do that, if you can get a little bit of internal pressure and force him out either side, but really to his left, he'll struggle. And, you know, he hasn't killed people when he's gotten outside of the pocket like he had in, you know, a little bit of the younger part of his career. But if you give him one-on-ones on the outside, he's going to hit them.
You know, you mentioned earlier when we started about Mahomes not putting up the flashy numbers. That's been Patrick Mahomes' biggest mistake was doing 50 and 5,000 in his first year.
Yeah, the expectation.
So, right, yeah. People live in 2018 and they think it's 2018. I think what's most impressive about Patrick Mahomes is that he's legitimately had to change his game just about every year.
Yeah.
Going from this to that to this to that, constantly changing who he is. That, to me, is the most impressive thing about Patrick. He can win any damn way.
It's like Tiger Woods, you know, early 2000s when he was unbelievable, and then he was like, I'm changing my golf swing. And everyone's like, you're the best player on tour. And so, and that's really hard. Like, that's really hard for a player that, it's kind of what I was referencing, just an incredibly talented guy to not want to constantly make the, story I've constantly shared was being with Matthew Stafford, and we would watch tape, and he would make throws, and I'd be like, why? Why are you making this throw? He's like, because I can, and you can't.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to throw the 5-yard ball.
Damn.
He's right, though.
Yeah.
You know,
I
want to throw 20 yards on the sideline in between four people. And so, but to have the discipline like Patrick's had to do it, it's the reason why they're here.
You're a busy man. We'll get you on your way. Two things. Your food takes, we all know, they make fun of them all the time, or they give you a lot of crap for it. You're in a weird place for food. How do you survive? And then also, how do you see, who do you see winning this game on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm going to frequent the Smoothie King a lot while I'm down here.
Right.
This probably isn't the best place for me in food. Who do I think wins?
Yeah.
I think this is a 3-quarter game if you're Philadelphia. If you're Philly and you don't have a 2-possession lead at the end of the 3rd quarter, you're flirting with danger. I think Kansas City wins. I picked against them twice. Mm-hmm. I picked against them at the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
That's right.
And I picked against them last week.
So please pick against them. Just keep it going. You know?
I'm a pretty dumb person. I don't think I'm that dumb. I think this bodes well for the style of football that Kansas City offensively wants to play.
Well, I'm glad that you're finally on our side. We'll stop going against your takes. Orlovsky, we appreciate it. Dan Orlovsky from ESPN joins us. Yep. Take care, brother.
Be well, guys.
Meeting the guy for the first time actually was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. He's actually a pretty good dude and finally came full circle and said, you know what, I'm done doing it. I'm done picking against him. I might as well just stop being an idiot. He said, I'm pretty dumb. I'm not the dumbest, but pretty dumb. But now I'm going to start picking the Chiefs. And again, all our guests are brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kansas City is gearing up for their 3rd straight title, and the Academy Sports and Outdoors stores have everything you need to rep your team during their historic run. By the way, Zach in Kingsville.
Way to go, Zach.
He's the one that got the Hy-Vee moment, right?
There you go. So, buddy,
the 5th and final contestant, one will be selected, and you that wins gets $500 to Hy-Vee.
Hell of a deal to get the $500 gift card to Hy-Vee, your official grocery store of the Kansas City Chiefs. Get you all your Chiefs gear, your Chiefs cookies that look like Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and do yourself a favor, sample their brats. They've got so many different brats that are perfect for game day in Kansas City. So get on over to Hy-Vee, use their aisles online as well. It makes it so much easier to do all your dang shopping at Hy-Vee. They do a great job. Love Hy-Vee. Love the folks over there. Get over to Hy-Vee today.
Not sure how this happened, but our text line's been taken over by Eagles fans. We keep getting texts to say, fly, Eagles, fly, go Birds, fly, Eagles, fly,
I go bet
Birds.
You they told them to do that in Philadelphia because they're yep. not here today. They left, so yep. they must be infiltrating
yep.
our text line, which is fine. Didn't they
fine.
Didn't they try that with the bars in Kansas City and whatnot?
Yeah, they tried calling all these bars, and then yeah. they got a lot of backlash back. Hilarious audio if you missed it. But also, we are live on radio in New Orleans. You can watch us all. We're live on Twitch, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, however you want to check it out. Coming up on the other side, the final script of the year, where we try to get it right. I can tell you this thing, that guy's not going to play in the game, even though he used to play in the stadium that they're going to play in. Drew Brees walking by. It's still active on Radio
Drew
Road.
Drew Brees here early today.
Mm-hmm. Very early.
With the suit on. He's got to go on early shows,
good.
Man. So we come back. We get into the script. It's Mac. It's Bob. It's myself, Dusty Likens. We give you what we think will happen Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles at 5:30 here in New Orleans at the Superdome. You listen to 96.5 The Fan, your home. Kansas City Sports.